We thank you so much for this pleasant evening and the body that is gathered together. And your promise is that you would give us the word in season, and you are the God who speaks to us. The point that ministered to us, Lord. Thank you for the introduction and the walk, the way of life, and the men of God who understood your nature and character. It's really mind-blowing. In those days, there were no scriptures, and Lord, here the scripture is in our hand, and everything is given to us. We have a complete and full understanding in the cross of Christ. Lord, even as we spend time together on your word, we pray that you would really speak to our hearts this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. So 2 Corinthians 12. I was thinking about Pastor Benny's message on Sunday afternoon, and I had a thought on Apostle Paul. Not exactly how God dealt with Peter, and it is a different and Satan and Apostle Paul. So I thought I would study on that one more time, and study it a couple of days. So I have a few thoughts, maybe 5 points. Definitely it will minister to us. 2 Corinthians 12:2. It says he is talking about himself in humility and an absolute dependence on God. He says, I know a man in Christ. I got a message from Pastor Anil in WhatsApp as soon as I installed. And he said that when we were here before he left to the States, and he said, drink a Starbucks in my place. And he WhatsApped me saying that in your name, I had a Starbucks coffee. Early morning, I said, Pastor, drink all ye of it. Do this in remembrance of me until we have it together. And then he says, ha, 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 ha. The loud laughter was so louder. So they are doing good. They are really enjoying and remembering the times that we were all together. So here, Apostle Paul is talking about himself. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in body, I do not know, out of the body, I do not know, God knows, such a man was caught up to the third heaven. And this is Apostle Paul caught up to the third heaven. And he says this in 2 Corinthians after 14 years. That's really amazing humility. Talk about humility. Saying something after 14 years. And if people have visions last night and they write a book the next morning and they sell it and they make money. And here he never speaks about these things for about 14 years. And he was in heaven and he was caught up in heaven. And in verse 3 he says, and I know how such a man, whether in body or apart from the body, I do not know, God knows, was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words which a man is not permitted to speak. Can you imagine that, the language of heaven? I don't know. He says he is not permitted to speak, and it is something that we cannot speak, and it is beyond human understanding. That is the language of heaven. And he was caught up into the third heaven. In Acts chapter 9 verse 28, he was led down by the body of Christ. These are the two things that God really teaches us. And in Acts 9:25, as he was preaching Christ and ministering to people, and right after his conversion, and the persecution begins, and in the middle of the night, the disciples take Apostle Paul and put him in a basket, and they let him down. And he was hanging by the rope in a basket, and he was let down, and he was in the hands of the body of Christ. I think Pastor Shala preached an awesome message on that, being in the hand of the body of Christ. And this is our life. And God really puts us in the body, and we are held by the body of Christ. And at the same time, this is persecution, and all these things go through. And in the midst of it, God reveals His grace to us. And at the same time, we also, in one sense, receive remas from God. And really, God ministered to us. One sense, He is caught up. The other side is the paradox is He was let down. And then He goes on to say in verse 7 of 2 Corinthians 12, because of this great revelation, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation that He received, and for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself. And there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord 3 times that it might leave me. And the Lord said to me, has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. There is no false balance with God. One side there is a blessing, and the other side God really burdens our hearts. And this is Matthew chapter 11, and He says, come all, and take my yoke upon me, upon you, for my burden is light. And we have met the Lord in our salvation, and we are walking with God, as we heard in the introduction. There is tremendous blessing. And also, God is teaching His nature and character, and He puts His burden in our hearts, and we begin to really understand and being transformed by God. And I was thinking about the first point is that we man many places looks for a substitution, but God is not looking for substitution. God is looking for transformation. So when I say substitution, in the sense, think about the prayer of Apostle Paul, and he asked for a deliverance. And sometimes there could be a sickness in our mortal body, and we may ask for a substitution, that is health. I want health in place of sickness. Or it could be, I want deliverance in place of pain and weakness. Maybe I want an absence of problem in place of a problem. So man by nature looks to God in prayer for a substitution. But the answer of God, not all times, God does heal people, and He answers our prayers. And sometimes God does not answer through substitution. God talks about transformation, being in that particular situation. And Satan will never be allowed in our lives, as in the case of Apostle Paul's life, without permission from God. And it talks about Job chapter 1. In Job chapter 1, it speaks about it. Pastor Stevens has written a book on knowing Satan, or the weakness of Satan. And in that he says that God will never allow Satan in a person's life unless and until his purpose would be accomplished. And God would never allow Satan in a person's life unless and until God is going to be glorified through the entire situation. And here it says in verse 7, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, and to buffet my body, and to torment me, in ASP says. The word torment in translation from Greek to English is to strike with a fist. And if you receive a blow with a fist, how it would look like? So it will really be painful, and it will really provoke us, and there will be a reaction or response from our end when we receive the blow. The same word is used by the Holy Spirit in Matthew chapter 26, verse 67. The torment. The people hit Christ on His face with a fist. The same word is used. And Mark chapter 14 verse 65, the word torment is one more time used. To strike with a fist, to give a blow with a fist, to ill-treat a person, to treat a person with a tremendous amount of violence and continual violence. That is what happened to Apostle Paul. If you want to talk about the number of years the thorn was given to him, a maximum of 14 years. Minimum it could be any number of years. So he's talking about a revelation that he received before 14 years, and he is connecting in verse 7 because of it. Maximum, at the max, as he is writing, he had this experience. If you want to say maximize the problem, it would be for about 14 years he was in this. So a continual blow, a violence, and an ill treatment. And all that he says, God allowed it to humble myself. There was a humility that was worked in Apostle Paul's life to an extent where he never even spoke about this vision for 14 years. So, which means that he considered himself as a servant of God and being used by God and being a tool in the hand of God. There was no other boasting that was left in the life of Apostle Paul as he was ministering God's life through God's life to the people of God. And 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 20, Peter speaks about this blow. He is also using the same word, and he is talking about a servant being obedient to the master who is ill-treating the servant. And he's saying that the treatment, ill treatment, or a violence treatment is basically a fist and a blow with a fist. And this is what happened in Apostle Paul's life. And the tense, he says that there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. The word given and the tense in the Greek language is aorist tense. So we know past tense, present tense, and future tense, right? If you want to mention about aorist tense, he puts it in a, it could be past tense also, right? So somebody gave me, it was given to me. We can mention that way. But in the Greek language, and he puts it in aorist tense. He doesn't use past tense. Are you listening to me? It was given to me, right? It is in English language, we can say, in simple past tense. But here, he doesn't use the past tense, but he actually uses aorist tense in the Greek language. It brings out one particular thought. If you study the aorist tense, and it doesn't give importance to the amount of time in which something has happened. It doesn't give importance to a particular event in continuance. So how long did it take for God to give, and in which manner God gave the thorn. And there is no reference to that when you talk about aorist tense. Aorist tense says it happened, that's it. One simple event, and it goes on to mention that. So what Apostle Paul communicates to us from that tense is that they don't get caught up with the manner in which God is trying to give you, and it may not be the same what happened to Apostle Paul. It may not be the same in our case. And don't refer to how long, don't go into the petty details, but what he communicates with that aorist tense and indicative mood is there was a purpose in God giving to me. So that is the thought that Apostle Paul is communicating from the tense. It is not how it happened, it is not how long did it take to happen, and it is not which manner God, you know, I want to know the secret, tell me, Apostle Paul. But Apostle Paul says, no, it was given in indicative mood, in the sense there was a purpose behind in God allowing this thorn in my life. And some people or a man can get upset with God because he prayed 3 times and God did not remove the thorn. And we can blame God, and we can quit on walking with God, as we heard in the introduction. Or some may even become ineffective. And you talk about Apostle Paul. What was he doing? He was writing letters, the New Testament. He was moving from one city to another city. And he was preaching, and he was ministering to the body and he would have conducted many raps, and he was planting churches and he was discipling people day and night. And does he need this continual blow? And no wonder why Apostle Paul, think about the details of life, and there is a continual blow on the body. And but if you, I'm making it more evident, but Apostle Paul does not deal with it because of the answer that he received. And in his tight schedule, moving from one place to another place, in those times there was no transportation as we have today. And in the thickness of the day, in the night of the hour, and he traveled and he was preaching, he was writing letters and he was ministering to the body. And it was not needed for him. God, he goes to God and God says, I want to be effective, and remove this thorn. And the first point that I said is like, you know, we look for a substitution, but God doesn't answer our prayers with a substitution. Okay, here is your painkiller. Here is your remedy. And God says that I'm looking for transformation in that situation. And the second point that I want to bring in here is God is in the interest of ourselves. And there is a purpose of God in our lives. And I was reading one statement by a man of God. And he says that there is something worse than sickness. You're talking about a sickness. If it is a sickness, we don't know really. There is something worse than a sickness. There is something worse than a physical pain. That is sin. And then he goes on to say, there is something worse than sin. Sin itself is worst. And there is something worse than sin, which is nothing but pride. Or as Pastor Stephen says, that the self-righteousness is dangerous than sin, that it can deceive us. And after this revelation, after being caught up into the third heavens, receiving inexpressible words, and he says that, lest I exalt myself above and beyond measure, it was given to me. Don't talk about how it was given, don't talk about the manner, don't talk about all these things, and try to match up with your life, but it was given to me. There is a purpose of God, and God wanted to teach humility. And he was very much interested. And the worst sin or worse than sin is pride. And if it would have been pride for these 14 years, I don't think Apostle Paul would have been effective. And God really taught him how his grace is sufficient for him. That is the second point that I would like to bring. And the third one is the answer of God. It's really amazing. And we talked about the word given, right? It is in aorist tense. In 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9, and the verse says, and he has said to me, the word said is in perfect tense. You know, what do you mean by perfect tense? If you say aorist tense, it doesn't talk about whether the event is completed or it is in continuation, not talking much about the event that is given. And if you talk about the perfect tense, it says that God once and for all, finally, in conclusive manner, answered to me. He has said to me. In a sense, the answer from God to Apostle Paul is very, very perfect. He is not putting three dots to be continued. And he says, my answer is complete. My answer is final. My answer is conclusive. And you are talking about thorn, but I would like to say, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. It is easy to quit a situation and jump out of it. But God is not interested in that. And he answered with a sufficient grace. Is grace sufficient? The expression of God's love. Grace is all that God is. That is one of the definition. Grace is all that God is. And he is talking about sufficient grace. And he is talking about strengthening grace. And then he is talking about a transforming grace. These are the three things God is. We may be at different situations in different places wanting to jump out of the boat. But God says that there is a purpose, there is a plan, and my plan is perfect for you, and my grace is sufficient, and my grace is transforming a Christ-likeness in you, and my grace is really strengthens you. This is how God answered. And the third point that I noticed in this is a true strength. What is true strength? True strength is not a strength at all if it is revealed to the enemy. A strength is not strength at all if it is revealed to the enemy. Did you understand that? Was Samson's strength was strong enough when Delilah knew that his strength was in the hair? No. That's it. So when he was in deep sleep and it was cut. The true strength is not the strength at all when it is given to the enemy. Some cricket player is very good in offside, and if they know it, they would begin to attack from the other side of it. At the same time, weakness is weakness at all if it is revealed to God. It becomes our strength. And strength is not strength at all if it is displayed to the enemy. And weakness is weakness at all if it is given to the hands of God. And a true deliverance is a complete deliverance when we continue to depend on God. So I could be removed from a habit for 14 years and God delivered me, and I can fall into it after the 14th year. Which means that I'm not estimating the deliverance based on my dependence on God. I'm estimating the deliverance based on my strength. So my strength is not strength at all if it is strength to me. At the same time, my weakness is not weakness at all if it is given to the hands of God. And if you notice, God says that, he also says, I would rather boast about my weaknesses. Did you understand that it is in the hands of God? So that the power of Christ may dwell in me. And then God said to him, and he says in verse 10, for when I am weak, then I am strong. If it is in the hand of God, and it is the matter of strength to me. Yesterday we were doing the Bible study, and with Alan, we are doing a study on Abraham's life. I really marveled the way Abraham responded in Genesis chapter 14 and 15. In the last few verses of 14, he is actually talking to the king of Sodom. And the king of Sodom is coming. And imagine the enemy is coming. And he is saying that in his Bible it says that take the loot and give the people. And take the wealth and give me the people. And Abraham is like very bold before the enemy. And he says, I don't want to take a soulage from you, for my God is possessor of heaven and earth. And lest you will tell all the people that you made me rich. And there is a bold conversation between Abraham and king of Sodom. I was like, really? Wow. And we were marveling Abraham. And then in Genesis chapter 15, verse 1, it says, after these things happened, God visited Abraham. And God is speaking to Abraham that, do not fear, Abraham. I will be reward. And Abraham is saying, what reward you will be? For I am childless. And the one side before the enemy, he is really bold. When it comes to God, and he is totally, absolutely weak. And your reward means nothing to me when I am childless. Can I have a substitution? And can the servant be? So this is the life that we actually live. When we come to God, we are in complete, absolute transparency mode. And like how we change the phone. Right? When it comes to the enemy, we are not putting up a show. And but we know who our God is. And I really admire the character of Abraham in Genesis 14 towards the end and Genesis 15 in the beginning. When it came to God and he was like a child, he was talking to God, what are you going to? But previously he was saying, my God is possessor of heaven and earth. And he was not doing the same talk with God. You are the possessor of heaven and earth. You will give me the child. No, when it comes to God, he was absolutely weak. And he realized that his weakness before God is basically transformed into the strength. And his total dependence is the complete deliverance. And that is the third point that I want to talk about. The first one is, we don't look for substitution, but God is talking about transformation. And the second one is about the strength and the weakness. Is it the second one? And the third one is we don't live on the explanations, but we live on the promises of God. Yeah, we want to get a way out, and God, explain the situation to me. This is how it is going to work, and that is how it is going to work. And God rather says, my grace is sufficient for you. I'm looking for an explanation from God. God, can you please explain the situation to me? And God is saying, I don't want you to base your life on explanation. God does give the wisdom, but I want you to base your life on the promises of mine. And the promise of God here is, my grace is sufficient for you. I think once Pastor Benny was talking about Mary and Zachariah in Luke chapter 1. And Zachariah, when the angel appeared and said, you will have a child, and he sought for an explanation. I am old, and how is it going to be? But Mary also said, no, so since I am a virgin. But Mary lived on the promises of God, and she based her life on the promises of God. Zachariah was wanting to live on the explanations and what is going to be the sign. And God said, this is the sign that you will not speak. Right? He gave him a sign because he asked for a sign. And our life is not based on explanations. If you want to give explanations and we look for opinions and all those stuff, and God can reveal and God can give explanation. I'm not saying that God cannot, but our life is based on the promises of God. And the fifth point, the first one is the substitution and the transformation, and the second one is about the sin and the worst sin and the deceiving sin, that is pride. And God is interested in dealing with that. And God is interested in dealing with our self-righteousness to a place where we can come to God and we can say that He is the Alpha and He is the Omega in our life. And it is not He is the Alpha and I am the middle and God is the God. God brings us to that place, and He is not cornering us down. And He is really teaching us. In that process, He is transforming. And one particular thing that God really narrowed down in Apostle Paul's life is pride. And lest I exalt myself beyond measure, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. That is the second point. And the third one is about the strength and the weakness. And the fourth one is about we don't live on the explanations, but we live by the promises of God. Sometimes we don't know how it works, but we all know that God has promised. God has spoken to us. God will do for us. And God will carry us through. And He will be with us. And He will never leave us nor forsake us. And Abraham went to a place where he did not know. And in Genesis 15, he is asking God, God, what is the sign? I understand. God calls him, come out of the tent, look at the sky, and count the number of stars. Can you? No. He says, no. And so shall your descendants be. And the verse says that Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him righteousness. Imagine that instant. He was a flesh and blood man. He was a like man, passion man like us, as James says. And the fifth point is, God doesn't change the situation, but He gives an ingredient in the situation, that is grace, so that the tragedy would become triumph. So He doesn't change the situation, and His prescription says grace. That's it. God's prescription. When we go with the different things, Lord, like we say to the doctor, some people have a habit of magnifying things. So God writes G-R-A-C-E, grace. And the suffering that Apostle Paul went through was not a tyrant in his life controlling him, but rather it was a servant that really helped him. And he did not magnify at all. And I don't know who was the thorn in the flesh, whether Apostle Paul was to the Satan, of messenger of Satan, or the messenger of Satan to open. I think Satan hates really grace. And that one particular demon that was allowed in his life must have experienced tremendous torment. Right? Every time he manifested the grace of God. And it's really great that God really works in us in multiple ways, and it is unique. And we don't try to match up, you know, how it was given, God's, but we say that there is a purpose in all of our lives. Whatever happened or whatever is happening, whatever would happen. And but we don't majorly live on the explanation part of it, but we walk by faith and we hear God. And as Dr. Sinu said, our walk is in the body and our walk is with the Lord, and our walk is by faith. And God adds lives to us, and one day becomes 1,000 years, and 1,000 years can become a day in the presence of God. Amen. Father, we thank you so much, Lord. So we see the glory in Apostle Paul's life. There was an honor that was placed in his life, in that he was caught up into the third heavens, and he was given the vision. And there is also the goodness of God that was revealed in Apostle Paul's life, that God ordained a process by which he can be humbled. And there is also the grace of God that came for his help. And it was a redeeming grace, and the expressions of it, and it is a sufficient grace, and it is also a strengthening grace, and it is the transforming grace. And it is God of all grace, and it was from the throne of grace, and it is the word of grace. Thank you so much for this word, grace, Father. We are beginning to understand, and we grow in it, as Apostle Peter says, and we don't fully comprehend it. And when we go to heaven, there is going to be a language, and it is really cannot be expressed in human words. Thank you for the lessons that we have, and the men of God who walked with you in the Bible, and we glean from their life, and it is given to us, the scriptures, as it says in Corinthians chapter 10. And all that is written, it is written so that it would be a warning to us, and we can base our life completely on the word, and we can take steps of faith, and we pray that you would really minister to us as we take steps of faith. And we have found this book, and this book has spoken to us, and we want to base our lives, and we want to walk along with our family and with the body based on the word that you have spoken to us, and based on the scriptures, Lord. Teach us, Lord, and work in us, and work through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We'll stay back for some more time, because you are just not hearing the sound, but it's raining outside. Okay, so just for... do you mind if I take your portion, Pastor Guru? Just share something that God kind of ministered. So this can be messages. Service is over officially. But unofficially, we can have like a wrap message, because I think when Pastor is not there, that's the time we should draw all the more near to the hearing of the word, isn't it? So, awesome, great, great portions tonight. I was blessed by what Pastor Guru said in 2 Corinthians 12 verse 7. How he explained that, and this thought stood out to me. You know, when we come into the body of Christ, when we come to the church, we have our reasons why we come, right? This is a little bit on the practical side. Okay, it's just thinking through on the messages that we just heard. We have our reasons, and we can ask somebody, hey, why did you, and I can say this because it's a Wednesday evening message, maybe we can't say this so much on a Sunday morning, but what drew you? What made you come? You came the first time. What made you come the second time? And what made you come the third time? What made you come the fourth time? You know, what made you come the fifth time? What made you come the sixth time? Or what made you come the seventh time? And very often the answers we get is, you know what, I love the word that is preached here. And that's what most of us had as our answers, right? I love the word of God that is preached here. And another reason why people would give is, I love the life that I experience here in the body. And isn't it? Oh, I love, this is a great family. I just feel really good talking to people because they are not discussing my past life or anything. They are just loving me up, building me up, encouraging me, and I feel great coming here. And yet another answer would be, talking like a Malayali, another answer would be like, oh, I sense the presence of God. It's like a very special feeling to just be here, because maybe they experience a lot of chaos, and especially as Dr. Sinha said, no, right, discord. Here they sense things are getting harmonized. And these are great answers. And we enjoy it, and that is how we connect with people in the body. This is really how we connect with people in the body, because it's not really our duty to sanctify people. Do not take it upon yourself to sanctify people, and do not take it upon yourself to humble other people. Okay, that's not the purpose of Christianity at all. But the three things that, but then God goes beyond that. And that's what I love, what Pastor Guru said. Okay, we hear doctrine, right? We hear. And people give that as an answer why they're attracted to our ministry, to the fellowship, because the word of God is preached here. They sense life at the other end. But then if God is to use you and me to transfer us from the hearing of the word into the manifestation of life in the body, which would turn out to be a blessing for the body of Christ, I think 2 Corinthians 12:7 is a phenomenal verse. And this would apply over a period of time to you and I, and we cannot avoid this process. And you know, I would put it this way. Every measure of revelation that we hear from the pulpit, right? Every measure of revelation that we hear from the pulpit, that is a rhema, that is an illumination, must be followed by a process of humiliation. And that really stood out to me when Pastor Guru shared that. Otherwise, I will be left with myself. Every measure of revelation that we hear is an illumination from God. So it becomes a mental awareness from God's viewpoint that we receive. Must be followed into a process of humiliation, lest pride, because of what we know, takes over. Is that okay? So Paul did say, I was given what? Amazing revelations. Imagine being taught by Jesus Christ for 3 years in the deserts of Arabia in Galatians chapter 2. Personally taught. Man, you can imagine what that. But God was not just interested in swelling his head. God was interested in 2 Corinthians 6:10, right? Giving him an enlarged heart. For which there had to be a process of humility or humiliation that had to follow, lest I should be exalted above measure. Because of what I came to know, the abundance of revelation. And this process is really what would characterize us in the long run. In the long run, that would preserve us in our calling. Okay. So if a person has come the 300th time to the local church, okay, first time it's great. He would say, you know, someone would dare to say, I would suppose, I also sense God is working something in me. And I love it because I come here, I just sense it, that Pastor Brian's messages doesn't really keep me comfortable in my flesh, but really challenges me into, or inspires me into a living faith to go forward in the plan by really learning to pick up the cross. And if that reason is understood, and that reason is kept in the forefront of our mind, God, then it really becomes an amazing way by which we are preserved in the calling in terms of hearing the word and are called to manifest his life to the in the body of Christ. Isn't that unique? You know, because the true authority a believer has in his life and the self-defense of his flesh are incompatible. I'll repeat that again. Many a times, the authority of God in our personal life is understood as a way by which we get even with people and we can defend ourselves against all odds, so to speak. But that is not true authority in a person's life. And his self-defense are totally incompatible. And that is why we have in Numbers chapter 17 the amazing principle of Aaron's rod that budded. And when there is the process of humiliation, there is that death working in us. What is it? Death working in us so that what may work in others. 2 Corinthians 4 verses 10 to 12. Life may work in others. That is nothing but the budding of Aaron's rod. So the true authority of God in our lives will always be backed by resurrection power, not self-defense. True authority of God in our lives will be aided and will be backed by the resurrection power of the cross through this process of humility that God works, so that there would be an incredible reason why people are drawn into the fellowship in the body, and that is because they witness the life of Jesus Christ in the body of Christ. Thank God for the word we hear, and thank God we come, and we could be many a times, and it has been the case with me many times, I'm just there like a deflated tire. And then the service is over, the fellowship is on, and then you get to see this incredible manifestation, and you begin to have that witness in the spirit, and you're drawn into that, you're encouraged, you're comforted, you're built up, you are like almost like ashamed, like, God, why couldn't I just really trust you that you could meet me today? What are we witnessing? Someone chose the death of the cross, or we can say the process of 2 Corinthians 12:7, as a result of which life is projected, manifested to me. And the same thing God would call us for through the hearing of the word. There is this process that God works so that life may work in someone else. And if you notice, the one reason that causes people to be drawn again and again and again is because death is working in the life of the disciples. So there would be the manifestation of life in the body of Christ. Isn't that amazing? So this really was awesome. You know, when God would introduce that process of humiliation, you know, we get offended, don't we? We get offended. And then we want an explanation, as Pastor Guru so well said. Is this grace? Is this grace? Is this really love? And you know something? God says, now get to know grace. That's what Paul learned in verse 9. Now my grace is sufficient for you. And isn't that awesome? That's really phenomenal. And I just love it how, what did you say? The transforming grace, right? The grace, the efficacious grace that really brings it. We are drawn, but then there is also something like it becomes an opportunity in that sense for us to understand and grow in the sufficiency of God. Rather than seeking for an explanation or being questioning in our hearts and minds thinking, is this grace? If this is kind of happening to me. Rather than say, God, teach me grace now that you've introduced me into this process. What all means he may employ for that. Awesome. So we can therefore gladly glory, right, in our infirmity so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Awesome. Apostle Paul's authority was never witnessed. Somebody said when I was in Calcutta, somebody said this. He said, people in Calcutta really don't try to impress them with your knowledge, they will impress you with their knowledge, because they are very, like, you know, more prone to, they have such a quest for knowledge. But when they begin to see something beyond knowledge, they are dumbfounded and they are drawn to it, you know. And that is why they say Mother Teresa could make an impact there beyond what she knew, right? So See, it's raining again. Praise the Lord. So, you have any further thoughts, Pastor Guru? Can you share if you want? Or we can have like a wrap. You're free. Okay, this was just a wrap kind of thought after the service. So shall we pray? Then we can continue on. If you have to leave, you're welcome to leave. But if you want to be stuck in the church because of the rain, you're welcome to. You know? So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your amazing grace and the classroom of grace that you choose. The classroom that you choose to teach us the sufficiency of your grace, the transforming power of your grace. And it is not the time with questions. Yeah, though those they could be legitimate, but it is not the time for questions to escape the process, but it is a time to be drawn in, to receive the understanding of what the power of God is all about. And thank you, God, for showing us what true authority is, because it is backed with resurrection life that will intimidate the flesh. Remember, resurrection life will intimidate the flesh. It can bring in an offense to the flesh, but resurrection life is truly what brings life also. It is what causes people to be blessed by the life of Jesus Christ. And thank you for the way you back the authority of God in our lives, not with a sense of self-defense, proving our rightness, but manifesting your righteousness through the power of resurrection life, against which God told Moses, I will make all the murmurings of the children of Israel to cease from me forever, because Aaron's rod has budded. Isn't that amazing? Father, we thank you, we praise you, we bless your name. Thank you for this amazing evening, the two messages we heard, and really bless the remainder of our week. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen and amen.